Good morning. Our reading this morning comes to us from chapter 58, verses 9b through 12 of the prophet Isaiah. Coming at the end of Isaiah's writings, the prophet tells us clearly that God does not want our hollow worship and our staged rituals. What God really wants is for us to resist oppression, to care for one another, and to feed one another. And God wants these because God knows that as we do these things, everyone is increased and the common good is built. Let us listen together for God's word. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you will be called repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. May God bless this reading and our hearing.
Sometimes what we need most is right in front of us. I've never told this part of my story from the pulpit, but it fit this morning. About 5 years ago now, I'd gotten to a place in my life where I was overweight and unhealthy, and I needed to make some changes. A friend suggested that I consider a Couch to 5K program. So it's a program you download for your phone, and it leads you over 6 weeks from starting off walking for a few minutes to running and walking until finally at the end of it you can run a whole 5K without stopping. When I finished that program, I found that I liked it. I felt better. I felt good about myself. I liked running, and I continued to run. But I was surprised that I didn't lose any weight. I thought those kind of went hand in hand, right? So a couple months later, I went in and talked to my doctor, and I said, you know, I've started running, but I haven't lost any weight. She's like, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. It's easy just to eat back all those calories when you're done. You're feeling good. You come home, and you just start eating chips and cereal and stuff. It's real easy to do that. So why don't you go talk to our nutritionist and learn some strategies for healthy eating? So I don't want to do it. It was time, but you know, my blood pressure was up, my cholesterol was up, I needed to lose weight, so I decided to go do it. So I went twice, just 2 hours, and in a short period of time, she taught me some real practical strategies for eating healthier and for balancing out my caloric intake. So it was the formula I needed, the running mixed with the information from my nutritionist, and because I think I was just ready to make some changes, that it started to work. I really started to lose weight. And about 8 or 9 months later, one morning, I stepped up onto the scale and discovered that I had lost 40 pounds. I felt good, I was excited, I was energized, and I could not wait to go to my annual physical. So a couple months later, I get to the office and I step up on the scale, smiling like a Cheshire cat. And when the doctor comes into the room, before she even said a word, I said, Dr. Haddock, you are looking at your new poster child. So we laughed and we joked and we celebrated my falling weight and my cholesterol and blood pressure numbers were coming down again. And before I left, I remember very clearly saying this to her, something like this. I said, you know, Dr. Haddock, everyone's formula for weight loss is different. But for me, I didn't read a book, I didn't join a group or anything like that. I just did what you told me for years to do, which was to exercise a little bit more and eat a little bit healthier. What I had needed all along was right there in front of me. Well, a long time ago, 2,500 years ago, God's people had what they needed right in front of them. And let me tell you, they needed a lot. You see, it was in 586 BCE when Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem and sent many of the people off into exile. And then 47 years later, King Cyrus of Persia rolls through the region and conquers Babylon and issues a decree that allows the Jews to return from Babylon back home to Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside, which was great, except for those who did decide to go back home again. They discovered that Jerusalem was still destroyed, and there was hunger and poverty, and the people were vulnerable in so many different ways. And what they needed in that moment, right, was to come together, right, to pool their resources, to all pull together to feed one another and to care for one another. And you know what they did? They did exactly the opposite. They hurt one another, and they exploited one another, and they took advantage of one another, and they were violent with one another, and often they did this all in the name of their religion. The prophet Isaiah describes the situation like this. He says, "Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins, because day after day they seek God and delight to know God's ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of God. They ask me for righteous judgment. They delight to draw near to God. But then they ask, why do we fast, but we don't see the results? Why do we humble ourselves, but you don't even notice us, God? Look, Isaiah says, you serve your own interests on your fast day. You oppress all of your workers in the name of religion. You fast only to quarrel and to fight, and you strike with a wicked fist." The state of affairs for the post-exilic community was not good. And when the people needed to come together the most, they hurt each other the most instead. And the result of that were broken lives and broken communities and a whole broken nation of Israel. So in the middle of that mess, God comes and speaks to the people through the prophet Isaiah and says, "Look, O Israel, the formula is not so difficult. What you need is right there in front of you and always has been. It's real simple," Isaiah says. "You need to point less and feed more. Judge less and judge less and care more. You need to oppress less and care for one another with love more. Point less and feed more. And you need to do that not because it's nice, not because God wants you to be goody two shoes, but you need to do these simple things because in them there is real power. Point less and feed more brings life for individuals and communities and even whole nations. Look," Isaiah asks the people, "don't you understand that if you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, if you do these simple things, then your light shall rise in the darkness. And your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and believe it that you will become like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose nevers fail. Other people will look at you and say that their ancient ruins will be rebuilt, that their foundations will be raised up for many generations. You will be called repairer of the breach and restorers of the streets to live in, all because you pointed less and fed more." Sometimes what we need most is right there in front of us. So Isaiah said these amazing words a long time ago, but you know, they're as relevant today for us and our communities and in our country as they were back in ancient Israel. Ancient Israel needed to be rebuilt. The people needed to be rebuilt then, and in our country, we could use some rebuilding today, couldn't we? I mean, it's not a surprise that millions of our neighbors and friends and those among us are hungry and homeless and addicted. It's no surprise that we just can't seem to stop demonizing one another and exploiting one another and shooting one another. Two more shootings the last couple of weeks. It's no surprise that we just routinely oppress and marginalize one another. I know that's kind of finger-pointy, and it's hard to say those things, and it's hard to hear those things. But it's true, I think. And it's true not only at the national level, right, like it's somehow other people doing that stuff out there, but the real hard news is that we do these things here, too. In Burlington, and Hinesburg, and Charlotte, and Shelburne, and North Ferrisburg, and right in our own communities, we are fully capable of ignoring our neighbors who are hungry and homeless and addicted. Even in Vermont, we are capable of exploitation and violence and oppression and the marginalization of people who are like us and who aren't like us. That's hard to say and it's hard to hear, but I think we know it's true. And that's hard news, but there's also good news. That this ancient pattern of behavior that existed 2,500 years ago and has been consistently lived out through that time and is lived out in this country and in our own communities, this ancient pattern of unhealthy behavior, we have everything that we need right here, right now, to change that. The formula isn't so difficult or complicated. And what we have is right here. And all we need to do is judge less, wag our fingers less, and feed and care for one another more. Point less, feed more, point less, feed more, point less, feed more. And I know what many of you in the room are thinking. Many of you are thinking, how Pollyannish of me to say that. Like, Pastor, you are wearing some gigantic rose-colored glasses, brother. How nice it is on Sunday morning to say, to quote the poetic words of Isaiah, all's we got to do is judge less and feed more, and all of our problems will be solved. And what sounds so nice on Sunday mornings in the sanctuary sounds so naive the rest of the week. So I get it. I understand that. I feel that too. I'm right there with you. And I believe in Isaiah 58. I believe in the power of Isaiah 58. As much as there's power of sin and evil and systemic injustice and oppression, as much as the powers and principalities are in control and leading us always to exploitation and division and violence, as powerful as that all is, point less and feed more is more powerful still. And I know that because I see the effects of it every single day in this church and community and beyond. That as we point less and feed more, we restore lives and communities and build up even our own nation. Sometimes what we really need is right there in front of us, waiting for us to see it and to believe it and to live it out with the actions of our lives. So I'm going to close in celebration this morning because I think we know this in this church and in the community. As we've done today, planting seeds of hope throughout the service, naming the ways that this church and so many in this community through individuals and programs, we are living Isaiah 58 out, whether we recognize it or not. We are pointing less and feeding more. Right? Kids cook. We teach our kids to cook and to serve through food. Missions just took some time to go feed lunch to Habitat for Humanity volunteers, feeding people so that they can literally build up the community. Salvation Army has been making dinners for a group in this church has been making dinners for Salvation Army for a really long time. We have food shelf collections, a partner with the food shelf. We have coffee fellowship. Once a week, we have a party, invite the whole community to come and to feed and to be fed. In so many different ways, we are doing the hard work of pointing less and feeding more and building up the community as we go. The food shelf. Every week, you guys do an amazing job of inviting people in, whoever you are and wherever you come from, without judgment, and sending people away with a bag of food, one person and one family at a time, building up the community. Claudia Marshall, talking to us about planting rows in our garden, a simple and powerful way of helping our neighbors through food. Powerful stuff. It's right there in front of us. And Susan Ohanian will be talking to us in just a moment about the library. The library is building partnerships right now, serving as a catalyst for providing a lunch program to feed our kids to help bridge the gap when school's not in session. Building up kids one family at a time. And as we do that, man, I tell you, those little things, often so quiet when you put it all together, there is real power in there to rebuild lives and communities and even the whole nation. So God bless this church and our feeding ministries. God bless the individuals and programs in this town and beyond who are doing this work of building and building and building with the simple formula of judging less and feeding more. So may God bless these efforts, that together our light shall rise, and together we will be called repairers of the breach, restorers of the streets to live in Christ's name and for the life of the whole world. Amen.